Luke 24 is a wonderful chapter in the Bible. Of course, they're all wonderful chapters in the Bible, and I could probably say that about every chapter in the Bible. That's a wonderful chapter, but I say it about Luke chapter 24 this morning, since that's where I want to direct our attention. The chapter starts out with a lot of things that are closed. Starts out with a closed grave, closed eyes, closed memory, closed understanding, a closed Bible, and it ends with all these things being opened. Hence the title of the sermon this morning, Open, Open, Open. You know, man comes into this world with sin-blinded eyes and sin-impaired understanding. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." And just like Jesus opened the blinded eyes of many when he walked the face of this earth, so he is still the opener of blinded eyes. He is still the opener of blinded understanding. Numbers are significant in the Bible. The number 3 signifies God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The number 7 signifies completion. The earth was and heavens were made in 7 days. The number 40 represents testing. The spies spent 40 days in the wilderness. The nation of Israel spent 40 days in the land of Canaan. The spies did. The nation of Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus was tempted of the devil 40 days. So the number 40 represents testing. And I'm told that the number 8 represents the resurrection. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to go to Luke chapter 24, and I want to mention 8 things that were opened. 8 things that were opened. First of all, and the most important, was the opened grave. The opened grave. Now upon the first day, chapter 24, verses 1 and 2, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. These ladies came. They didn't know that Nicodemus had put spices in when Joseph of Arimathea and he had buried him. And so they had prepared spices. And they were coming on this first day of the week to anoint his body with these spices. And they had worried about who was going to move the stone. In Mark chapter 16, the Bible says, "And they said among themselves, these ladies, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" The women knew they couldn't. They knew it was too heavy for them. They knew it would be impossible for just them to roll the stone away from this grave's door. You know, oftentimes we worry about things that we think are going to happen in the future. We worry about something we are going to face tomorrow or next week or next month. And we say, like these ladies that were going to Jesus' grave on that early Sunday morning, the day of the resurrection, they say, we can't do it. There's no way that I can do what I think I'm going to have to do next week or next month. I'll remind you this morning, God knows what's coming. And God always and already has a plan. We may not be able to see it. In fact, we may not know what that plan is until we get right to the situation that we are dreading. But I'll remind you this morning that we still have a God that can roll away stones. We still have a God that can help us in any circumstance and provide a way for us to make it. The Bible tells us that Joseph of Arimathea had rolled that stone as he covered the entrance to that little cave that served as Jesus' grave. It had been sealed and guarded by the priest and the Pharisees. But no man-made plan, device, or force will keep closed what God wants opened. And he wanted that grave open. It tells us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 2, "The angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door." And when the angel did that, it caused the earth to shake. In that same verse, it says, there was a great earthquake. And some people think that the earthquake caused the stone to be rolled away. No, the angel rolled the stone away, and that's what caused the earthquake. And when God works, the earth shakes. When God makes his power known, the earth trembles. Someone said God had to roll the stone away so Jesus could get out. No, no, no. He was already out. God had to roll the stone away so that man could see in, that the tomb was empty, that there was a resurrected Christ, that he had defeated sin, he had defeated death, he had defeated the grave, and so that mankind could know without a shadow of a doubt, he is not here, but is risen. But is risen. That's why the grave had to be opened. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you're a sinner. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. I want you to know this morning that when Jesus went to the cross, he died not for his sins, but for your sins and for my sins. He died in my place and he died in your place. And because he rose again, because he was not there when the women went to anoint his body with the spices, because death gave way to life and defeat gave way to victory, he's able to offer the gift of salvation to all mankind. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All you have to do is take it. John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so in Luke chapter 24, the most important thing we see is an opened grave, a grave that God opened so that we could see inside and know that we have a resurrected Savior. Something else opened in Luke chapter 24, opened grace. The Bible says they came now upon the first day of the week. They came on the first day of the week. A new week was dawning. But something else besides a new week was dawning that day. A new day of grace. Luke 16, verse 16, the Bible says, the law and the prophets were until John. On this day, it was no longer the law. The law came so that we could be convicted of our sin. We knew no sin until the law came. And in before this day of grace, the way you got right with God was by keeping the law. And that day of law was till John. The day of the prophets were till John, looking forward, them testifying of what was going to come. But on this day, not only was the grave open, but grace was open to mankind. God's riches at Christ's expense. Unmerited favor, a gift from God which nobody deserves, and a gift that saves us. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So an open grave, open grace, open memory. It says verses 6 and 8 of chapter 24. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. D.L. Moody said one time, he said, I don't understand why the disciples didn't expect Jesus to rise from the dead. He told them about it over and over and over. And when Jesus opened their memory, they were able to go back and remember verses like Matthew 27, 63, where he says, after 3 days, I will rise again. After he opened their memory, they were able to go back and remember verses like John 2:19, where he says, destroy this temple and in 3 days, I will raise it up. After he opened their memory, they were able to go back and remember verses like Matthew 17, verse 9, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. You know, God still does that for us. He still opens our memory. You know, that's why it's so important for us to memorize Bible verses. That's why it's so important for us to teach our children Bible verses and for them to memorize those Bible verses. You say, preacher, I'm an old guy. I can't memorize Bible verses. Yes, you can. John 11:35, Jesus wept. Now, come on. And there's nobody that's too old that can't memorize Bible verses. You can go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. I mean, there's all sorts of verses. Even old guys like me and some of you can memorize. And we ought to commit them to memory because we don't know when we're going to need those verses. But God does. And so we put them in our mind and in our heart. And when we get to that situation where we need a Bible verse to lift us up, and we need a Bible verse to encourage us, and we need a Bible verse to help us stay out of sin, God will open up our memories. And those verses that maybe we haven't thought about since we were a child, God will bring back to our memory and use in our life to help us. An open grave, open grace, and open memory. Number four, opened eyes. Verse 31, and their eyes was opened. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Talking about the two men that were walking to Emmaus, and Jesus joined them. He had closed their eyes. The Bible says their eyes were holden that they should not know him. You see, Jesus did not want these two disciples to see him in the flesh until they saw him in the scripture. Remember as he walked with them, remember what he did? He took the scripture and he taught them from the scripture all the things in the Old Testament that pointed to him. So when he first joined them, he closed their eyes so they wouldn't recognize him. The incarnate word, Jesus himself, was concealed so that the written word might be revealed. You see, Jesus was teaching them and us that faith is not seeing, but believing. In fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Jesus wants us to believe. We haven't seen him. I mean, we read the accounts of people that did, but we haven't seen him, and he wants us to believe based on what we read in this book. He said in John chapter 20, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have yet believed. Now, before he left these two disciples, he opened their eyes. They knew that it was him, but only after they had seen him in the scripture. One day we will see him face to face. One day we will look upon him who saved us by his grace. But until then, we have to believe this book. We have to exercise our faith and know that he's God and that he's our Savior. Leads to my next point, number five, open scriptures. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they said later, did not our hearts burn within us while he opened to us the scripture? I hope one day that we'll get to hear this Bible study that Jesus taught these two guys on the road to Emmaus. I hope one day in heaven he'll gather all of us together and said, hey, you read about it in the book of Luke. I want to tell you what I told those two guys, how he took all the verses in the Old Testament that talked about his birth, all the verses in the Old Testament that talk about the death that he would die in our place, all the verses in the Old Testament that pointed to the resurrection of our Savior, all the verses in the Old Testament that taught that he would one day ascend up into heaven. I hope we get to hear it. But you know, God is still doing what he did that day. Today, he is still teaching us and opening to us the scripture. The Bible says that when he left, he says, I'm going to send the Comforter, and when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. When Jesus left, the Holy Spirit came back, and Jesus said, he's going to be your Bible teacher. He's going to open the scriptures to you. Unfortunately, if he's our teacher, many of us are skipping school. We think the Bible is a dull and dry and uninteresting book, and we leave it closed for the most part. And yet, I dare say, and I challenge you, if we open it And if we read it, and if we let the Holy Spirit open it up to us, I think we would say, like these two men, didn't our heart burn within us as he opened to us the Scripture? Without the Holy Spirit, maybe this book in parts is dry. Although I'll tell you, I don't find more interesting stories anyplace else in any other book than in this book. And if I was just going to read it without the Holy Spirit's help, I'd still read it, because what I find in here is interesting to me, is exciting to me. But when the Holy Spirit takes what I read here and opens to my in my mind what he wants me to understand, I say, like those two guys, man, it was good. It was good. So an open grave, open grace, open memory, opened eyes, open scriptures, opened understanding. Luke chapter 24, verse 45, then opened he their understanding, they might understand the scriptures. Difference between open eyes and open understanding is a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is the gathering of facts. Wisdom is how to use them. Some people have knowledge without wisdom. Solomon wrote thousands of Proverbs. He had knowledge, but he didn't apply very many of them, or failed to apply a lot of them in the latter years of his life. The disciples knew the Scripture, but they didn't understand it until Jesus opened their understanding. In the same way, and I got a little ahead of myself, he does the same thing today. He will open our understanding. Open grave, an open grace, open memory, open eyes, open scripture, open understanding. Number 7, open hands. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. The last they saw of Jesus on this earth, his hands were open in blessing. The hands that had been laid on the heads of little children. The hands that had been laid on the sick. The hands that had raised the dead. The hands that had been pierced for our sins were now open in blessing his disciples. Same hands do the same things today. He blesses us. If you're saved, one day those hands are going to point you into your eternal reward. He's going to say, "Welcome home. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If you're here and you're not saved, one day those hands are going to point in the opposite direction. He's going to say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Which leads to my last point, number 8, an opened heaven. In verse 51, the Bible says, "While he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." Carried up into heaven. His entrance into heaven climaxed his redemptive work. You see, the ministry of the redemption, Christ's ministry of the redemption, didn't end at the cross. It didn't end at the open grave. It's not Christ hanging on the cross that redeems us. It's not even Christ that by itself resurrected that redeems us. That's part of it. He had to be crucified. He had to be resurrected. But part of redemption is he going up to heaven and sitting at the right hand of the Father, our advocate. Our advocate. We read in the book of Genesis a story about Jacob's ladder. And it reached from a boy, young man in the wilderness, all the way up to the throne of God. The ladder of redemption has to do the same thing. It has to reach from every lost person that walks the face of this earth all the way up to the throne of God. The songwriter puts it like this: if the Christ of the cross had stopped at the cross, his work had been incomplete. If the Christ of the tomb had stayed in the tomb, he had only known defeat. But the path to the cross never ends at the cross, and the way to the grave leads on by victorious grace to the heavenly place where the risen Christ is. as gone. You see, Christ's resurrection guarantees our resurrection. But I was thinking about this. What good would the resurrection be if we didn't have a place to go after the resurrection? What good would the resurrection be if we didn't have a place called heaven that we could look forward to go to be with the one who died for us, to go to be to the one who shed his blood and gave his life and defeated death, to go to be with him, to go to be with those that we have loved that have gone on before us? What good would the resurrection be if there wasn't a place called heaven? Let me ask you this morning, are you going? Are you going? The only way you can go is to come through Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And if you haven't come to him, you need to do that this morning. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, all you got to do is ask him. Say, like I talked about in the song service, I talked about Peter as he was sinking in the sea, about to drown, and he cried out, Lord, save me. That's all you need to say this morning. As a sinner sinking in sin, Lord, save me. Save me. And by the way, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, like we talked about in Sunday school, you can't leave without making a decision. Not to act, not to receive Christ, is to reject him, is to say no. And so I pray this morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, in just a minute, when we stand to sing an invitation song, that you'll walk down this aisle and give us the opportunity and the privilege to take this book and show you from this book what it is to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for all these things that you opened. Thank you for the things that they teach us. Father, most of all, thank you for the open grave and the open heaven. I pray, Father, that again we could see a resurrected Savior and we could understand that only by him can we get into heaven. Only by him can we get our sins forgiven. Only by him can we be made right with you. And so I pray for that man, woman, that teenager that's here today that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior. I pray, Holy Spirit, that right now you would speak to their heart. Right now you would convict them of their sin. Right now you would help them to understand, open their understanding, and help them to understand that only Jesus can save. Not our works, not our church, not anything that we can do. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But it's only Jesus. And I pray you'll help them. Ask him this morning to save them. Bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.